Enoch Mwamba, you're not on the top 50 list.
Wow. It's a little disrespectful. I think.
You were the most impactful player in the last game of the year.
The biggest. Don't say just last.
Okay.
The right, biggest. Sorry.
My mistake.
Yeah.
What if they told you that they thought you were going to retire?
That's not acceptable.
Okay. What if they told you that it was cut off at 50, but you were 51?
Would
that
That's make even worse.
No? Oh, it's worse? Okay.
You left me out. Whoa. I really got to make some calls.
That's right. It is the Waggle Podcast. We are back IRL in real life and on YouTube. And Enoch Mwamba, you are back.
I'm back.
First of all, it's good to see you.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, man.
Last time, in person.
I know.
Last time I saw you, you were crying on my TV in HD. Your daughter's jumping into your arms. And now you're back on the podcast, but also back playing. I love both of those things.
Yes, sir.
And we got like a new set. They're like, we can't have MOP and an MOC without doing it proper. So we got some new digs.
I'm glad, man. I'm honored to be here and I'm excited for this season to come in. I'm excited to be sitting right next to you, man, on a weekly basis.
Yes. The real reason why we have a new set is like, at some point they're like, well, we just can't have Enoch breaking the middle of recordings to go deal with one of his 17 children. So let's control this.
Don't start.
But no, it's great to be back on YouTube. And listen, subscribe. We're going to have clips of the individual segments that hopefully you like and want to share and repost. But also, as per usual, you can find this because it still is a podcast. Wherever you listen to podcasts. So subscribe in both places. On YouTube, via the CFL's account, and via the Waggle Podcast, wherever you're listening to podcasts. So much to talk about as we start a season. The league, I don't know if they gave you a bit of a break and did you a favor, did you a disservice by starting the year with a bye. And we can't complain about the schedule too loud because we're actually in the CFL office. So they might throw us out.
Yeah, yeah. We might get kicked out right now.
But you start with a bye. We're going to break down the games for week one. But I want to talk training camp in general right now, because you're coming out of camp, but still, because of that bye, it's elongated camp for you. What's training camp like for you as a rookie in relation to what it's now like for you as a vet?
Listen, it's night and day. It's two completely different things. I definitely enjoy training camp as a vet way more. Right?
Because?
I mean,
because the reps go down.
You're more used to it. The reps go down. You're used to it. You know, you obviously have a good relationship with your coaching staff and everybody. So you're more accustomed. You know what's coming ahead and what's on the horizon. As opposed to when you're a rookie, you have no idea what's going on. I mean, the toughest part to me, I would say, is the fact that, especially being on a team that you've been on, and for me in particular, 3 years now, this is my third year with the team, but I've been able to get accustomed to the playbook, the people, and, you know, beyond just the coaching staff. But if you're a rookie, you're coming in new faces, new teammates. I'm talking about a new playbook, which is probably the most difficult part, because the most important part of training camp is recovery. And natural recovery, which is sleep, you don't really get to do that when you have to study your playbook on a day-to-day basis. And so as a vet, you know, you can get more sleep in when, you know the playbook a little bit better.
So oftentimes training camp will be away somewhere. University campus for you guys this year, it was Guelph. Is there a optimal roommate scenario when it comes to training camp?
You know what? Thank God. At Guelph.
Because there is a guy, and actually, you know, I'll save it. Because there's a specific type of teammate that I'm thinking of that I want to address. But talk to me about your scenario at Guelph.
So we're at Guelph, we're very well taken care of, first and foremost. There's not much you can do about a dorm, small, stiff bed. You can't do anything about that.
Well, when you're a rookie, you're coming out of that lifestyle. It is what
exactly.
It is.
So maybe that is a positive.
But
right?
But as a vet, you're a grown ass man.
You are a grown man.
You have a house. You have multiple rooms. You have sheets with a high thread count.
Oh man! And then there's levels as vets, because I get to sleep and I'm not getting bothered and woken up by my kids. Yes. But at the same time, it's not that comfortable. But hey, you're not complaining. But when you talk about roommates in training camp, we're in a good situation at Guelph where I don't have to sleep or, you know, be in the same room next to somebody. So I got my own room. But we're, you know, in those dorms where I got people in the same, on the same floor. The worst roommate that you could possibly have is one that doesn't take care of his hygiene. Mm. You're not showering. I mean, we're always active in camp.
You got any names for us?
I can't do that, man.
I mean, come on. You can.
This is how you're going to start us off?
I'm asking the questions.
No. I'm just asking the questions. We're not doing that.
Last name, maybe? We're not doing that.
We're not doing that.
I mean, I would
argue. But they know themselves.
I would argue they did it to themselves.
They know themselves.
And maybe this is the intervention that they need.
Listen, we got a whole season ahead of us, okay. DB. Let's start off slow.
So, Robbie Smith?
Come on, man. Don't do that to my boy.
I'm asking.
Robbie is extremely clean.
Okay, good.
Very clean.
Good to know.
I mean, you walk in, his car smells good. He give me a few rides every once in a while. It smells great. Robbie Smith, you're not on that list. That's a guarantee. We're not going down the whole roster.
Sean Oakman?
We're done.
Oh,
and Sean Oakman is not that guy either, man. Don't do him like that.
Okay, all right, okay.
Oh, you see what he tried to do to you, huh?
I'm just asking questions. Okay, so yes, there's that training camp scenario. So, and we've joked about this before, and so it's going to be a fixture segment this year, that guy. Mm. Because on every football team, no matter the level, there are some scenarios where there is that guy. And there's some training camp that guys. The worst that guy, and I want to ask you one this week, I'll let you marinate on it. The worst that guy in all of the that guys is all pro scout team guy. The guy who we're running the play 6-7 times, we're giving a look, getting through reps. You know the play. You're on scout team. You don't want to be on scout team. You want to be, you know, a dress roster player, a starter. So you're blowing up the play. You're going sideline to sideline. You know it's toss sweep to the right. You're getting there early. And it's like, come on. Yes, you got to give a look. You got to give a competitive rep and a look. But that's the guy I hate. I'm not going to ask you who that guy is. Viewers, in your local high school rep, professional college team, let us know who that guy is for you. We'll save that one for a couple weeks. But this is that guy I want to know. The guy who packs for training camp as if he's moving in forever. Like he's bringing the mini fridge. He's got multiple fans. He's got multiple gaming systems. Like he literally is staying there for a while.
Yeah.
Of all your times, we're talking about multiple teams in the CFL, NFL, obviously your current stint. Who do you remember being that guy?
Man, there's been a lot. And we talk about rookies and vets. A lot of the times that guy is a vet, right? Again, you have less worry when it comes to extra studying. You want to be comfortable. So you tend to have that guy being a vet. And this past year in particular, it was Boris Beedy was that guy.
Okay.
I mean, he had everything. On top of that, he's a kicker. I had a Pat McAfee as a kicker. Most of the time, I don't know why that guy usually typically is a special teamer. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that
they have lots of time on their hands.
They have ample amount of time on their hands. And this guy had his, you talk about game consoles, challenging everyone in FIFA. I mean, we just finished the practice. Hey, come in my room. I got the game. I'm setting it up. You know I'm running the table. And he's talking about it all day, all night. He's always, you can ask any of my teammates this past training camp, probably suggested and wanted to have 3 or 4 different team barbecues. Hey, it's a team bonding opportunity. I'm like, listen, we're here for work. I understand you have nothing else to do, but we're here for work. And so he's 100% that guy. He's not going to be happy about it, but it's the truth. It's the absolute truth. And you can ask anybody on the team, they'll tell you.
So here's the other aspect, because, you know, training camp, really, it's like the first day of school. You're seeing everyone for the first time, catching up, chopping it up. You also seeing like, oh, you've been working. Okay. All right. I see you, right? You haven't. Okay. Whatever. we might need to fast track your situation. So it is, for the most part, a joyous occasion other than the bumps and bruises that come with training camp. But also, there's a couple times throughout every camp that you know the Grim Reaper is coming.
Oh, yeah.
You know they're coming for your playbook. Mm. You know, coach wants to talk to you. It's not fun. And obviously, if you're a rookie or a vet, a free agent, new to the league, you're trying to make the team. But also, there's sometimes, and we talk about it during free agency, where we're like, I don't know if they got a different calculator than me, but those numbers don't add up. And so that means somebody or somebodies are getting cut and can't to be cap compliant. So you get some vets who get cut as well. Some it might mean a new lease on life somewhere else. Some it might mean the end of their careers. But some big names this year, Sean Lemon, the Lemonator, who I think should be a Hall of Famer. Derek Dennis probably should be a Hall of Famer. And Mark Leggio, someone who set some big kicks and some big moments and won some championships on multiple levels. What is that time like when you know the team that we start with at training camp is not the team we're going to end with?
You know it, right? It's part of the business. It's definitely the darkest day of training camp, right? And kudos to guys like Boris, you know, guys that try to keep it light. A lot of times, the special teamers, they try to keep it light because, like you said, it really is a business, right? And sometimes you kind of tend to forget it, but that day will remind you, right? The last day, specifically final cuts, where a lot of coaches want, you know, have tough decisions to make. Because the truth of the matter is, DB, is that every training camp, every player, most of the time, the majority of the players, I'll even say, are all amazing athletes, great players. They've accomplished great things, whether it's a previous team or, you know, at the previous level that they were at. And so those days, coaches, front office people, management, it's not enjoyable for them as well. Pinball always says that. He says, hey, look, I don't enjoy this day, right? But at the end of the day, that day is one of those days where I typically try to stay in my room, you know, try to just let the time go by. One year I went to watch a movie, just waited, you know, hoping not to get a bad news on my phone. But you don't want to be around people. And a lot of the times, you know, I saw a couple people this past year that were getting cut. Guys that were, you know, close to me as well. And, you know, you just want to give them some time. Hey, do you want to talk? A lot of times you want to give them time to process and see what happens and also figure out what's next. If, like you mentioned, their career is over, they're moving on to other things, or they're transitioning or what they're doing. So I like to give them some time. You know, thank God I've never really been called like that on that day. I mean, no, that's a lie. I have been cut before. It's not the greatest thing, but it's what you do after that matters.
Well, tell the story.
Well, training camp in particular, it happened when I was in the NFL. It was the final cuts. I was in Dallas, as well as in Indianapolis. Final cuts, and I get the call. You already know what time it is. For me, thankfully, I kind of predicted, I kind of knew because I don't even know if it's a thankfully a situation, but I had an injury and I knew how competitive, you know, my room was. So you get the call, you go in the room, and unfortunately, it's a common practice, obviously, in the profession that I'm in. And the most familiar saying that you'll hear, we love you, you know, we'd like to keep you. I feel like I heard it, but everybody hears it that day. And but the biggest thing is this: we have to do what's most important for the team, for the organization. And that reminds you more than anything that it is a business. We chose to get into it, and that's you know, part of the risk.
So what are the array of reactions? Because I've never fired anybody before. I mean, I've dumped people. But I've never fired anybody.
Very similar, before. Huh?
Somewhat in terms of the reactions you might get. But I've heard from people who have that there are some very specific reactions. People are angry. Mm-hmm. People are sad. And people who just want the meeting to be over and want to keep it moving.
Yeah.
Want to get out of there, give me the paper, and peace.
Yeah.
No long talking.
Yeah.
Is it similar from a football aspect?
100%. 100%. It's just that. A lot of disbelief, right? A lot of shock. And a lot of that has to deal with the fact that you got to figure your life out, right? And again, you're faced with the reality of the question of, hey, look, do I still want to play? what else am I going to do? Have I been working on anything else? And so you're faced with truth about yourself. You got to answer to yourself. And a lot of times you probably want to spend some time alone, you know, do some soul searching and figure out, where am I going to next? And so it's tough, it's challenging, but a lot of disbelief and shock for sure.
It's funny, in football, there's levels to it. So there's your cut, but you want to practice roster, which for some people is a win, depending on your age and stage. And then there's also your cut, but you're going to be a high priority free agent and probably end up somewhere else that's a better look. I was surprised, maybe not on the outcome of the names I mentioned, but I was just surprised to see them still, right? For those three names, and I'll tell you after which one surprised me the most, but, you know, Sean Lemon, Derek Dennis, Mark Leggio, when you in your locker room heard those, which was the one that was the most surprising?
Sean Lemon, probably. I even had a conversation with him. I contacted him a few hours later. I said, hey, what's going on? I think he tweeted about it as well. And
GM Enoch.
No. Let's not go there. But, you know, I called him. We chatted a little bit. You know, he's a guy that, you know, we go way back. I think my rookie or second year in the league, we played together. And, you know, he's still building who he has become today. But he's a guy that's accomplished a lot. You talked about, you know, possible Hall of Famer, you know, comes to sacking the quarterback over the last, you know, decade. You can't compile a list and not have him on it. And so it was definitely shocking. Of course, and, you know, Derek and Leggio also are guys that have accomplished a lot in this league. But Lemon, I know, like I spoke to him, he's on the CFLPA as well. We had a conference in the middle of the offseason, and, you know, he was talking about how excited he was about the season. And so, again, you talk about the shock factor, big time. It's huge. So he'll most likely end up on his feet and be able to contribute on another team. And you know what that does actually for a lot of guys? It gives them a spark. It lights a fire under them. And you know what? I'll tell you what, whatever team he plays with, when they're going to play BC, you're going to see a different guy.
I will ask the question, could that team be BC? Because the reason why it surprised me was not in the immediate aftermath. It's like, okay, they're going Canadian at the position. You got to figure out your roster and how you're going to, you know, situate it in terms of imports, non-imports, you know, nationals and Americans, get that. But then when you see that Jonathan Kongbo, who they signed, who played three games with the Denver Broncos a year ago, who's from BC, who's excited to come back to BC.
Yes.
It cut Lemon to make room for him, and then they cut him and trade him to Hamilton for a conditional fourth round pick, which essentially just eliminates the compensation in the Dane Evans trade. And then you see some of Kongbo's teammates getting those Twitter fingers going at him and him going back and forth. I'm like, man, clearly this went south quick because they couldn't have thought that was the move when they cut Sean Lemon, someone who was very productive a year ago.
Absolutely. And you know what? That is a very likely possibility. He could be on his way right back. He could be in conversations right now as we speak with the BC Lions. And so you can't take anything out of the equation, but absolutely. Pro sports, pro football is one of those things that you can never predict, right? Again, we talk about a guy like Sean Lemon, a guy who, you know, he's always talking about what, you know, the amount of sacks he's chasing and what he's done. And he's very, very capable of reaching all the goals and things that he's said and set out to do. And so for a guy like that to find his name on the list of the guys that have been cut, it's surprising. But again, you got to get your popcorn out because you never know what's going to happen and who's going to come become available and who's all of a sudden, you know, increases in value and on your team who decreases in value. And so, again, that's the beauty of sports. It's the beauty of pro football. And as tough as it is, it's amazing.
So you talked about getting that popcorn ready. I will have the popcorn ready for August, which said we have to wait that long. That's when Hamilton plays BC, and we will have the Congo Bowl, I suppose. He gets on. I think it's a great windfall for the Tiger Cats.
100%.
Incredibly talented player just falls in their lap for virtually nothing in a trade where they had to move a quarterback and move his money anyways. So this is another shrewd piece of business by your rivals. Speaking of lighting a fire under people and lists, we have the TSN. Ooh. And I have to underline the word TSN top 50. This is not my top 50.
All right.
This list is brought to you by TSN. It is not the CFL's.
You gonna put it up on the screen or what?
I have it. So I have not seen the list. It was text to me. I'm gonna go through it right now. You were on that list a year ago, at number 50. You were not happy.
No.
That you were 50.
I was not.
You were not happy at the amount of defenders and specifically linebackers that were on the list.
That
were not on the list.
That's right.
Yes, yes, yes.
I fight for my people.
Yeah. And so coming off a MOP and an MOC, I'll go through the list. I'll go through maybe some defenders as I'm just dissecting it now. And then I'll give you the top 10. Enoch Mwamba, you're not on the top 50 list.
Wow. It's a little disrespectful.
A little?
I think. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. But you know what? It is what it is. Let's see the list. Let's go through the list. Are we going through the list?
You want to go through the whole thing? Well, let's see who we have here. Your former teammate, Jagaire Davis, is 42. Jonathan Moxie is 50. He is Mr. Irrelevant this year.
Okay.
Some like players like you who made the list.
Okay.
Larry Dean is 39.
Okay. I like my man. I see Cam Judge on there. Nick Dembski.
This is a funny part of the list.
Talk to me.
Derek Dennis, who is not on a team right now, is 26.
Wow.
Jameer Thurman is 25. Mike Rose comes in at 19.
Bo Levi.
Bo Levi Mitchell makes the list at 20. Cam Judge.
Bo's my guy, 16. But he didn't even play a full season last year.
He did not.
We gotta make a call to TSN.
The highest linebacker on the list is 10, Adam Big Hill, 9, Wynn McManus.
Okay.
And then the top 10 is Kenny Lawler, who will not start the season playing at 8. Lorenzo Maldon at 7. Willie Jefferson at 6. Dalton Schoen, 5. Stanley Bryant, 4. Kadeem Carey at 3. Eugene Lewis at 2, Zach Collaros at 1.
Well, what does that make me if I intercepted the number 1? I'm not going to start that conversation, man. I'll just leave it at that.
There are some, I mean, you bring up the fact that Bo didn't play that much last year. He is a quarterback, I get it, but he's 20. Jeremiah Masoli played a couple games last year. He's 27.
Jake Ceresna made some noise last year. Cam Judge, okay.
So that is your TSN top 50.
There's some ballers on there. There's some ballers on there. But I don't know. Maybe I might, you know, you might have to put me up there. If, I mean, I don't know. DB, what does that mean? You might have to tell me.
I mean, you were the most impactful player in the last game of the year.
The biggest. Don't say just last.
Okay. Right. Sorry. My mistake.
Yeah.
The biggest
game. Someone may misconstrue it by thinking it's the last game of the season.
No, not the last regular season. The biggest game of the year.
Yes.
The best two teams playing for the most coveted trophy in North American sports. So I am assuming that after you were 50 a year ago and you felt a type of way about it and then you went on to lead your team to the Grey Cup. Didn't miss much time, if at all.
No.
Various ailments, and then finish strong. That you feel a type of way again. Is that a fair assessment?
It is. I got to make some calls at TSN, talk to some of these guys. But you know what? My partner in crime, Wynn McManus, is up there. He cracked the top 10. I'm extremely happy. Adam Big Hill as well. You know, we got some good defenders up there representing. Lorenzo Malden, Willie J. It's still a respectable list.
What if they told you that they thought you were going to retire? So is that acceptable to you? No.
That's not acceptable.
Okay. What if they told you that, like, it was cut off at 50, but you were 51?
Would that make it even worse?
No, it's worse. Okay.
You left me out.
I'm trying.
You left me out. No.
The TSN top 50 list.
I really got to make some calls. Number 14, William Stanback. That's my guy. He's a beast. But he missed most of the season. You know what? All right. Let's move on. I got to make this call,
so, and we'll talk about it again. It sounds like
what?
Games played to you matter.
100%. 100%. Game 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. That's tough on the body. You got to get there. And so that's just me. But, you know, I didn't get a chance to put any names up there. But... like I said, my partner in crime's in there. I feel like I'm in there too.
As Bill Parcells would love to say, availability is your best ability.
The best.
Well, you were available to come up with your own recognition and make a list that people won't have issues with. Enoch's Dog of the Week. Gotta get a yeah, dog! Yeah! That is Dawg, D-A-W-G.
D-A-W-G.
Not D-O-G. Like, this is not, you know, it's not someone in the doghouse. This is someone that you want to big up.
Yeah.
Because they're playing like a dog. An unsung hero. Someone who is not getting the mainstream recognition. That the panelists who put together the TSN Top 50, the writers and reporters, people like me, the blogosphere, don't really know, but should know. Should get to know. Your Dawg of the Week... and let's remember, this will be a broad stroke of the entire league. But since you've been really practicing against your own guys,
yes,
you know, I expect it to be an Argo. Yes. Your Dawg of the Week this week is who?
This week, right? We talk about a dog on my team. There's a bunch of guys. It was tough, right, to come up with. With the Dawg of the Week for week one. We haven't played a real game yet, but I'm going to go with a guy who didn't show up on the list. Okay. I kind of feel like he should have been as well, since, you know, games played don't really matter that much. But again, he played on the last game of the season, the most meaningful game, the biggest game of the season, and he balled out. I'm not even talking about that, but I love the way that he showed up to camp this year. And this guy... I often tell him, you got to breathe a little bit. Because when you see him, DB, he looks like he's just flexing 24-7. A.J. Lent.
Okay.
That's our running back, number 34. I mean, came out here with a blonde mullet, shredded to pieces, looking like he got faster, looking like he got stronger, looking like he's going to run a bunch of people over. I'm looking forward to that. And he is my Dawg of the Week this week.
Okay. The millennial Chad Kackert. I like it.
Basically.
I like it. I noticed that he was on top of the depth chart. How do you expect those backs to be utilized? Is it timeshare? Can we see them on the field at the same time? Does the future Hall of Famer, Andrew Harris, get the big piece of chicken and thus he's the one who gets his name announced at BMO Field coming out of the locker room? How you split that up?
I think Andrew is such a professional. I don't think that it'll matter as much. Obviously, he wants to be impactful. I don't think it matters to him who's on top of the list when it comes to the depth chart. But those two guys, that 1-2 punch, and we got another guy. His name is Dan Adebaboye. He's ready and waiting. When he gets his chance, he's going to be a problem. But when you talk about AJ, you talk about Andrew, man, that 1-2 punch is going to be amazing to watch all season long.
Okay. Well, I'll be watching the games this week, as will you, because you won't be playing. We got some good ones. We got a preview of what I think might be the West final this year. So West semifinal rematch from a year ago. BC goes to Calgary.
Yes.
Two quote-unquote veteran QBs in Vern Adams Jr. and Jake Mayer, but two young QBs still. And when we were talking about these teams at this time a year ago, well, one of them wasn't even on the team. He was supposed to be leading the Montreal Alouettes. And Jake Mayer is someone that no one really talked about because we still, at that point, thought it was going to be Bo's team for the foreseeable future. 365 days pass, totally different scenarios. They're leading two ball clubs with championship expectations. And in the backfield, in BC specifically, now that the Butler did it and went to Hamilton, it'll be interesting to see what their backfield looks like in BC, because we know that they love to run the ball. Speaking of James Butler, he goes to Hamilton, but he is not the biggest name that is new in that backfield. It's Bo Levi Mitchell's first game in Hamilton. Looked really good in the preseason, by the way.
He definitely did.
He faces the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in Winnipeg for his first start. Someone who won't be starting is Kenny Lawler.
Kenny.
They got him back. They tried to trade for him at the deadline a year ago, they being Winnipeg, after he left in free agency. They get that connection back. It's badly needed, but won't start the season. There are some visa eligibility issues. So the focus will be on replacing him at receiver, but they've got some real depth at the receiver position. Ottawa and Montreal, and another question in terms of who will be playing and who won't be playing in the backfield. For Ottawa, we just learned...
Nick Arbuckle.
It will be Nick Arbuckle. But Jeremiah Masoli won't be ready to start the year, which isn't all that surprising to me, but still, when you're turning the page, you thought you might be able to do it with someone, you know, who is supposed to be the guy in Ottawa.
What made it not surprising for you?
This man had a catastrophic injury.
Okay. From the injury's perspective.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not like... It's not like your knee knows.
Yes.
Oh, yes, the season absolutely. Starts in June.
Absolutely.
Right? And so when you talk about the fact that there were some infection issues, you know, that there's some potential, you know, nerve issues, it wasn't just a very, like, ACL.
No.
You know, it was very clean, right? It was an incredibly dirty hit, incredibly tough injury. And this is a player who has had various lower body injuries over the last couple of years when he has been playing football. And so you would know, because you play the sport, for me, there's like a compounding interest on getting back to that. And this is a guy who uses his legs both, you know, from a escapability standpoint, but quarterbacks will tell you, you throw with your legs.
You definitely do.
So that's why it wasn't surprising. We've got Ottawa, Montreal. You played for Montreal.
I have.
I've always felt like this should be a rivalry.
We talked about it a little bit last year.
We did a little bit last year, but does it need a name? Like, does it need some branding so that, like, we can, you know, we can sink our teeth into it, right? It should be a Labor Day game for me. It should be a Labor Day, you know, home and home game, the way that Argos and Ticats, for the most part, is. It needs a name. So let's workshop this. Viewers, listeners, let us know.
We had a few names that we came up with last year.
The poutine bowl was floated.
Yeah.
I don't like poutine, personally. Do you?
I don't mind it. Okay. The right place, you know, you go to Montreal. I don't know about Ottawa.
What is the right place for poutine?
Montreal.
Oh, okay.
Montreal. That's hands down. There's no question. In the country,
I thought you were going to go usher on me like 7 o'clock on the dot in my drop top.
No, 100% though. We're in Montreal.
But not in Ottawa. They got a bunch of smokes, poutineries in Ottawa.
I mean, a lot of places in the country try to make poutines, but I haven't seen anywhere that surpasses Montreal. It's my opinion.
It's fries, it's gravy, it's cheese curds. Like, how do you mess that up?
There's a specific way that they do it. Okay, all right. The formula that they put everything together. Listen, we got to ask the viewers. We got to get a name. We need to have a staple and brand this game, because you know what? The Alouettes, and the Red Blacks. This could be, it has a lot of potential.
Yeah. Montreal's got a lot of new, both teams do, right? New paint job on both the teams. In terms of Ottawa, you're talking about a new staff. In terms of the coordinators, right? In Montreal, you got new head coach, new quarterback in Cody Fajardo. The Machocha solidarity is still there, so there's some consistency there. But also new ownership. So lots of change in Montreal. So it'll be interesting to see two teams looking to bounce back, who gets it started. And in speaking of teams that are looking to bounce back, Saskatchewan and Edmonton. Both teams that didn't make the playoffs a year ago and expected to. Both teams who, you know, if they start 0-1 out the gate, it's going to be confirmation bias in that rabid fan base that, like, come on now, we need to get going. So everyone is undefeated, you know, in the offseason and in training camp. And then as soon as that first L hits, you know, then people panic. In terms of Edmonton, though, who's hosting, not only are they just trying to get a win, they're trying to get a win at home.
They're trying to win a game. They're trying to win a game
at home. They have not won a game at home since before the pandemic. 2019, 17 straight home losses. So what they've done is...
Tell us what they did. This is extremely interesting.
So you already know where I'm going with this?
I know exactly where you're going, but let the listeners know, because this is amazing.
They've got a guaranteed win ticket rule for the Elks. So you can go on their website, sign up for the promotion. It essentially is limited. You know, it's not necessarily the best seats in the house, but, you know, you can get in the building. You get a ticket, obviously, to the home opener, June 11th, be there. And it's guaranteed win ticket. So buy a guaranteed win ticket and you'll keep your seat until the Elks deliver a win at home. So you pay once, and then you either are going to receive a win or you're going to receive another ticket. So I think that's really, really fascinating. Shout out to Edmonton, who've done a lot in terms of engaging the community. And, you know, they've gotten everything right but the product on the field. But I think this could go a couple ways. One, I mean, if you win, everybody's happy. And, you know, you're not giving away free tickets for nothing. But two, if you're losing, you're trying to get a reason for people to be in the building. And maybe they don't pay for the ticket, but they're still paying for drinks and concessions and parking. And so from a business play,
it works out. They might be geniuses.
But you are a rabid Raptors fan. You go to the games quite often, even when you're not bringing the Grey Cup there. And, you know, sometimes people are cheering for pizza more than they're cheering for the game. Like, they're trying to get that number where they get a free slice of pizza. And if the Raptors are losing, but people are losing it over pizza, it's not a good look. My fear is that, imagine if it's close and their fans hoping that they get a free ticket over a win. That would be optically a bad look. I don't think it'll get there, because I think people going, especially the home opener or actual Elks fans, they're not just going there to post on the gram. But I love the fact that they're thinking outside the box. These are the types of initiatives that we should be trying, dabbling in, see how they work. I mean, you don't want to get to the point where you have so many losses, you got to do this. You know, I give them kudos for thinking outside the box and seeing if this works. What's your takeaway from it?
You know what? I think those guys might be geniuses on the marketing team over there in Edmonton, DB. I mean, it's almost like a win-win, right? They win the game, good for us. They lose the game, hey, you can come back. And so they might be, they're essentially asking the question, are you not entertained? And if the answer is no, come back next week.
Right.
That's what they're saying. And so, you know what? They might be onto something, and they might be the first team, and they might start a trend.
I just need, if they lose, as people are leaving, for them to play Biggie one more chance. So the other thing, when we look at those matchups, and then when you throw in your team as well, which isn't playing this week, which gives your new first-time starter, Chad Kelly, another week to prep. The biggest narrative for me looking at all these games, and you let me know if there's something else that sticks out to you, but new places, new faces,
yes,
new quarterbacks. How many quarterbacks, is someone who is entrenched in the role with that organization. Essentially, it's Zach. That's it. Trevor Harris is essentially a known commodity, but he's trying to do the Sean Lemon, Kevin Glenn tour where he plays for every team in the league. And so he's certainly an upgrade, I suppose, because you know exactly what you're going to get from him. You're going to get 4,000 yards. You're going to get, you know, 25-plus TDs. He's going to give you, you know, over 70% completion percentage. He's going to give you a chance. BC is taking over for Nathan Rourke, right? Superhero. He's trying to own his team for the first time after one was ripped from him
right.
in Montreal. Jake Mayer is no longer going to be compared to what Bo Levi Mitchell is right now in the same locker room. It's his team, his franchise. Calgary Stampeder fans are going to be like, oh no, can you do what Bo did for us? Can you get us to a great
expectations
cup and win
is
one?
Higher now.
So now he's going to be compared to, if he struggles, oh, he's not the next one.
Did we make a mistake?
Did we make a mistake? Because we let the Hall of Famer out the door. Cody Fajardo in Montreal trying to get his career restarted again after he was up for MOP and then he was, you know, booed at home. Jeremiah Masoli trying to get healthy. Nick Arbuckle trying once again to prove that he can be an impact player. Chad Kelly, was it just a couple drives or are you the guy?
Listen.
Now you got the whole team. Everywhere across the league.
Amazing storyline.
There's questions about the quarterback position.
Yes, yes.
And so I don't know if I've ever seen it. Like, at this time last year, we were talking about whether Cornelius was going to make Edmonton. And now it's his team. So I'm fascinated with how transient the position is, how young the position has become. Because there was a time in our lifetime when like three quarters of the league had a starter who was going to be a Hall of Famer.
That's right.
You had Ricky Ray in the league, Calvillo in the league, Damon Allen in the league. Now that's not the case. How many of the starter quarterbacks do we know today is going to be a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Zach? It's tough. Zach is the only one really that's been, like you said, on the same team for multiple years and who I guess you know what to expect because he's been there for so long. And kudos to, you know, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers from our front office for
teething him,
but also just creating the culture and foundation and continuity. I don't know. When I step into that role, that's the first thing I'm going to go after. Continuity, you know.
So hold on. Is that breaking news?
No. This is breaking down news. The road. This is down the road. What are you?
I was always
being dramatic.
I wasn't sure.
Down the road. Okay. It's well documented. I have front office, you know, aspirations, okay. But down the road. But for now, I get to talk to.
Can we
get
a timeline on that?
No. It's way too
within
soon
for the year.
That. Wait a minute. Okay, okay. All right, let's get back to the conversation because now I can talk about
TSN,
these decisions.
When there is a top executives list, you better make sure Enoch is on it.
You better put me on there. But when we talk about these teams, I can talk about these decisions that these guys have made. And having been a part of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers organization before they established who they are today, you have to give them the flowers. They established a culture, a foundation, and they were able to have a great amount of continuity. You talk about a Big Hill, Willie J, Zach, and all those guys who have been pillars for that team. That's the question we're talking about for the other quarterbacks now. Like the new faces, it's either a new face in a new place or an older face, but trying to reestablish himself and reestablish their name. So it's going to be interesting all across the board. But the one, I think, team, the one person that I can't wait to watch, most likely actually pick off, is going to be Bo Levi Mitchell.
Okay.
I think that's the most interesting one. Because, and when we talk about this, a lot of times as a player, what you remember, and I've been through this, right? I played for multiple teams. I'm not Kevin Glenn or Sean Lemon or anything, but I played for multiple teams, and I know what it's like to leave a team, and it wasn't your decision, but you're on another team. So you're on a new team. First, yeah, you want to reaffirm the fact that you are who you are, and you're capable of still playing at a high level. But one other thing that we don't often talk about, DB, is the fact that he's going to probably be watching every single Calgary Stampeders game.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be watching, and I don't think that he's going to be hoping or wishing for them to do well. I'm sure he, you know, he has a soft place for a soft, you know, place for them in his in his heart. But listen, I don't think he was ready to leave, and I don't think that Bo Levi Mitchell is the type of guy who was in his mind thinking, man, at some point these guys are going to think that I'm not good enough anymore. And I don't think he has an issue with the mayor himself, but I'm sure, I guarantee you, knowing Bo Levi, he thinks he's a better player. So that's another game you got to circle down. Calgary versus Hamilton. Ooh, I can't wait.
So when the Argos play Calgary, I'm going to be checking your phone for some insider trading because you might be calling Bo, be like, give me all the information. We both want a Calgary loss. So let me know what you know.
He's just on the wrong side of the wrong conference because he's not going to want me to win either. Right. But you know what? I do remember having two picks against Calgary last year against the mayor himself, but we don't have to talk about it. And I wasn't on the list either, but hey, who's looking at that?
But wait, didn't you pick off Bo?
I have picked up Bo. Not wait, it was Bo, huh? No, it was Mayor. It was already Mayor. We did pick off Bo when he came down to Toronto. Like, that was his last game that he played with the Stampeders. That's actually something that I'm proud of as a defense.
Didn't you pick him off like four times?
We definitely did. We definitely, not me personally. We did as a defense. I personally picked off Mr. Mayor twice in Calgary.
Got it. Okay.
But I wasn't on the top 50.
Got it.
Yeah. I slipped out. I was thinking about it.
It'll be very interesting. I mean, so when we talk about Bo going to Hamilton in this offseason, you know, in the end of last season, putting a batter in his back, I look at him like the best version of Bo that you're going to get is to start the year. Healthy. Towards the second half of last season, they put him on layaway. The issue for him has been, you know, his health and that arm strength. This is going to be the best version you got at the beginning. He's going to be super motivated. And, I mean, we've seen it the way he started the preseason, but this is the guy, you know, love him or hate him, that he's always been. This man reads high-low. Like, he wants to strike up the band.
100%.
Every time he breaks
the Every time. Every time he gets on the field.
Yeah.
Every single time.
So I could see him, you know, with Tim White and with Duke Williams, I could see him putting up some really decent numbers because he's going to push the envelope and he's going to be aggressive.
Let me slow you down right there.
Okay.
One of my really good friends' name is Pat McAfee.
Okay.
Special teamer, right? We talk about those guys. He would always come into the locker room and talk about the fact. He says, guys, when you get kids, teach them how to punt. Because of the level of freedom and time that they have. I'm going somewhere. I, as a defensive player, shameless plug, we get to choose our destiny, right? Because we control almost everything that we do.
Okay.
We're talking about Bo Levi Mitchell. Mm-hmm. We know what he's capable of doing. We know how lethal he is. He's probably there's no defense in the CFL that he hasn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
We know what he can do. But as an offensive player, I feel like the one thing that you always have to rely on somebody else. Bo Levi is going to have a really good offensive line. He needs a good line in order for us to see Bo Levi Mitchell, the Bo Levi Mitchell that we know and the Bo Levi Mitchell that we're talking about. And so obviously I'm hoping that he struggles this year. But at the end of the day, I think that's the other thing that we look at. Even if you're thinking about, you know, looking and watching, how is Bo Levi Mitchell going to perform this year after everything that happened last year? They are going to have a really good offensive line to give him the time to go through his checks, the time to go through his reads, and finally, like you said, strike up the band.
I think that offensive line is going to matter our first down when they're blocking for Mr. Butler.
Hey. And
if they can get, you know, him on schedule and give him some options in terms of what we're doing on second or staying out of second, quite frankly, I think that actually is going to help Bo more than anything. And he's had good running games. When you look at his success, he's always had good running games in Calgary. And I think that scenario in Hamilton will be huge. I'm ready.
You know what else is going to be interesting? We talk about the offensive line. We talk about Bo Levi being Bo Levi. But the other thing that you got to look at when you're looking at the Hamilton Tigercats this year, and again, if I haven't said it before, I hope that they'll struggle this year like every other year. But I'm interested to see that new marriage, right? Tommy Condell and Bo Levi Mitchell, right? Because and you got to think, as a coach like Tommy Condell, he has a particular offense that he likes to run. He's going to have to put his pride aside in order to kind of amplify Bo Levi's abilities, right? Don't get him on the move. Don't have all these, you know, window dressing plays that he typically has. Let him sit in the pocket and throw the deep ball. Are you going to be able to put your pride aside? That's what I want to look at. Because, you know, we all know what Bo Levi can do. And I don't think Bo Levi is going to stand on a sideline holding a clipboard one more time before his career is over.
Well, it's funny because you mentioned Condell, and, you know, Dane Evans has moved on, you know, maybe a bit of a scapegoat. But when you're embedded in the fan base of the Tiger Cats, as much as they were confused, frustrated, exasperated with the struggles of Dane Evans, they were frustrated with the play calling as well.
100%.
And so
it's just a matter of time.
And so it'll be interesting to see. You've got Bo Levi Mitchell, new to the scenario, with a very specific set of skills, but also been in the league for long enough that essentially he's a supercomputer in terms of offensive football. He views himself as a coordinator at this point.
100%.
But then you also have Matthew Schiltz, who has a very different set of skills and has been, you know, post-Montreal, really one of their more productive players in Hamilton, has saved them in some scenarios. How do you utilize him and his skill set? Are there things that he does well that marry well with what Tommy Condell wants to do? If that's the case, how do you bridge that with Bo Levi Mitchell, who is the person who you're selling jerseys for? You got him on the side of the building. So these are things that are luxuries to manage when you're winning.
For sure.
They're pains to manage when you're losing. And so getting out the gate in a year where, oh, by the way, you're hosting the Grey Cup.
Pressure.
This is why this league is so fun and so fascinating. Because of all of the quarterbacks in new scenarios, one thing is for sure. There are going to be some stars, some people who ascend and come up and own the moment and become the new faces of our league. And then there's some who don't make it to the end of the year and could potentially be out the league, or we're going to be talking them about them at this time next year in a different scenario, hoping to extend their career. Who that is, we don't know, but this is why we watch. This is why we have fun talking about it. This was fun. Let us know what you want to talk about. Subscribe on YouTube, as I mentioned. You can follow this podcast on all of the platforms that podcasts are. But most importantly, enjoy the games. Tackle football in Canada at a professional level is back. Can't wait. I'm so excited. Love chopping up with you. Enjoy your extended training camp.
Yes, yes, yes. Tackle football is back, and we're hoping for the same ending as last year. Had to sneak that in there.
And enjoy your ring.
Can't wait.